السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، صدق الله العظيم. الحمد لله ذو فضل كرم إحسان فضله تعالى. الله رب العزت is allowing for us to spend some time in his house to make some mudhakara of some aspect of this beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. The ayat-e-kareema that we recited, so everybody is aware of this ayat. We recite it in every rakat of our salah. Allah Ta'ala mentions that إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that only you do we worship. And we as the bandas of Allah Ta'ala, it is only Allah Ta'ala that we worship. And it is only from Allah Ta'ala that we seek assistance. When a person is worshipping Allah Ta'ala and he is seeking assistance from Allah Ta'ala, then he doesn't need anything else. One sahabi, غالباً his name was Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala. He says that he came and he observed that people are all going to one person. They're asking him something, whatever he's saying, they're accepting it. So he found out from the people that who is this? So they told him that no, this is the messenger of Allah Ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he went forward and he met Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But instead of saying assalamu alaykum, he said alayka assalam. Twice he said this. So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam educated him. Don't say alayka assalam, say assalamu alaykum. So then he greeted in the proper manner. And then he asked Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that are you the messenger of Allah? So Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am the messenger of that Allah whom, if you are suffering any difficulty, anything has afflicted you, any problem you have, and you make dua to him, so he will remove that problem. And I am the messenger of that Allah that if you are suffering drought, you are going through some drought, and you make dua to him, then he will cause for your crops to grow. And I am the messenger of that Allah that if you are in a desert or in a barren land and your animal is lost, the animal that you are riding, generally your provisions will be on that animal, etc. Now that animal is lost, it is gone. But you make dua to Allah Ta'ala, he will return it to you. This is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the power of Allah Ta'ala. So the hadith sharif is lengthy, but I just wanted to focus on this portion of the hadith sharif, that whatever our need may be, whatever our difficulty may be, whatever our hardship may be, if we have to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala is the one to sort out anything and everything. And there is nothing that is beyond Allah Ta'ala. There is nothing that is beyond Allah Ta'ala that, wa na'uzu billah, this is too much now for Allah, astaghfirullah, that now I need to turn to someone else or I need to do something else. whether it is earning our rizq, earning our rozi, we turn to Allah Ta'ala and we earn in a manner that Allah Ta'ala has allowed. Allah Ta'ala will provide for us. There is no need to turn to anything haram. Our Hazrat Mu'izz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he used to say that Allah Ta'ala's khazana is limitless. Allah Ta'ala's khazana you cannot deplete. It is limitless. Why then must we turn to haram? In dua, Hazrat used to, when he used to make dua, he used to say, Ya Allah, you give us from your khazana, from your treasures. Why must we turn to haram, turn to anything that is prohibited? So in anything, a person wants to get married, he follows the correct procedure, he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will bless him. When the time is right, the person is right, Allah Ta'ala will bless him or her. There is no need to turn to any haram methods. Haram means dating and all these things in order to get married. A person has got a bimari, he must use those methods that are recognized in the Shariat, those methods that are permissible. There is no need for him to go to anything else. But when we forget Allah Ta'ala, it is unfortunate that so many of us, Allah Ta'ala forgive us, so many in the ummah at large, maybe not you, but in the ummah at large, that despite us being believers, but we forget Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, we forget Allah Ta'ala's power, we forget Allah Ta'ala's zaat. As soon as we are faced with some difficulty, some problem, our mind goes to everything else besides Allah Ta'ala. Last we'll come to Allah Ta'ala. As I mentioned once in one majlis, that the person has got some bimari. So he'll try everything else out first. Doctor, specialist, this one, that one, then he'll end up by the Hakim Sahib also, end up by the Amil Sahib also. When everything is exhausted now, and he feels that he didn't get any faida, I say, well, alright, now let's go to somebody and ask them to make dua also. So last we come to try Allah Ta'ala. That should be the first. Anything happens, first we go to Allah Ta'ala. He used to be a very good Hakim, Allah Ta'ala fill his qabr with noor. He used to be in Heckport. The older people may be knowing of him. So whatever dawa he used to make, to make different dawas, and then on the dawa he used to have a label, how to take the dawa, etc. But on every label he used to have written in bold, Allah is the curer. That this medicine doesn't do, Allah Ta'ala does. Allah Ta'ala is the curer. In one kitab, it's a kitab on Aqeedah. Generally the ulama, they study this kitab. So in this kitab it is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mumitun bila makhafa. Allah Ta'ala gives death. Allah Ta'ala is the one who gives death without any fear. When Allah Ta'ala causes death, whether it is to an individual, whether it is to a whole community, whether it is to a whole populace, in the nations of the past, Allah Ta'ala wiped out entire nations, whole nations. Allah Ta'ala gives death without any fear. So then it is explained that when it comes to us, our existence and our non-existence in relation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same. In other words, whether we are around, whether we are not around, this doesn't affect Allah Ta'ala's grandeur in any way. It doesn't affect Allah Ta'ala's greatness in any way. So, when a person thinks about this, that whether I am here, whether I am not here, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need me. Allah Ta'ala doesn't need me at all. Whether I'm here, whether I'm not here, it makes no difference to Allah Ta'ala. But despite that, Allah Ta'ala is providing for me. Allah Ta'ala is allowing me the use of all my limbs, my organs. He's giving me food to eat. He has nurtured me. He took care of me when I couldn't do anything. When I couldn't do anything at all, He took care of me. Allah Ta'ala is taking care of me before I even knew who I am. Allah is looking after me. Yet Allah Ta'ala doesn't need me. Now how merciful is Allah Ta'ala? How merciful is Allah Ta'ala? How magnanimous is Allah Ta'ala? That Allah doesn't need me. My existence has got no bearing on anything. But Allah Ta'ala has put so many things in place to take care of me. And despite me breaking His ahkam also. Despite, imagine a person, you have employed someone. You've got a business, a factory, firm, whatever. You've employed someone. You just did him a favor. You didn't really need the staff. You felt him sorry. Sorry, no man. Just keep him here. He's not doing anything to. If he's not doing anything, maybe that you'll overlook. Because you said you're doing him a favor. You're just keeping him there. But now, he is causing harm to the practice. He's causing harm to the business. He's doing things that are negatively affecting the business. Now you're going to keep him. Now you won't keep him. And what he'll have to hear from you? But I just did you a favor, give you a job here. No. Imagine Allah Ta'ala, what we are doing. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that our actions are such that we are actually like standing in the doorway of Islam. We not entering properly and we obstructing others from entering. Because when they're looking at our amal, they're looking at what we're doing, then they are getting a negative picture of Islam. Hazrat used to mention that in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, if somebody wanted to know Islam, so what was told to the person? Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Read namaz how you seeing me reading namaz. Just follow my example, you'll know what Islam is. But Hazrat used to say that in this zamana, we have to tell the person, by don't look at the Muslims, right? You study the Islam from the kitab. Study Islam from the kitab. Don't look at how the Muslims are leading their life, because you will then get a wrong picture of Islam. You will be misled to what Islam truly is. So despite us behaving in that manner, right? Allah Ta'ala is still overlooking. Allah Ta'ala is still giving us so much. So whether we are existent or non-existent makes no difference. This is why Allah Ta'ala gives death. Allah Ta'ala causes death with no fear at all. But then a time will come when Allah Ta'ala will give everyone death. There'll be nobody on earth. Forget no humans, no jinnat also. No creatures also. No malaika also. There will be absolutely nothing besides Allah. Only Allah Ta'ala will be there. And Allah Ta'ala at that time also will exist with all His sifat to perfection. His grandeur to perfection. His greatness to perfection. There'll be nobody worshipping Allah Ta'ala, there'll be nobody reciting Kalima, nobody reciting Quran Sharif, nothing. But it won't change the perfections of Allah Ta'ala, the sifat of Allah Ta'ala in any way. So our wujud and our adame wujud is of no essence at all. What then can we be proud of? What then can we be proud of? And then Allah Ta'ala, ba'ithun bila mashakka. Allah Ta'ala will then resurrect everyone with no difficulty at all. No difficulty at all. When you think about this thing, you know, a family, our family is now a small, if somebody got 5 children, it's like a big family. In the old days, people had so many children. But now if a person, if Allah Ta'ala had to give him 5 children one time, first year, if he had to bring up 5 children, if Allah Ta'ala blessed him now one time, 5 children he got in the first year of marriage, what would be our situation, boy? Somebody just gets twins, you know. Very rare you find triplets. Somebody get twins. It's like, no, need help, you know, extra maid. And, so generally you'll find now Allah Ta'ala will give one child. That child starts growing up, then another child. You take an institute. Take an institute. When an institute starts, so in the first year of the institute, they may have certain amount of students, so they can handle that amount. They got that amount of sagwat, that amount of food, whatever. Slowly, slowly it will grow. So the gradual growth makes it easy for the admin to grow with the students. Allah Ta'ala sent Adam alayhi salam into the world alone, one. Then Allah Ta'ala brought about Mahawa radiyallahu anha. And then slowly, slowly, mankind started filling up the earth. The day will come when all will pass away. There'll be nobody. And then the day will come when Allah Ta'ala will resurrect each and every person. Each person will be resurrected like the birth of a single person. And every person will be an adult. One time. Every person from the time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, right till Qiyamah. Whoever came onto the surface of the earth, even if the person never walked. Sometimes you get caught death, you know. Masoom child passes away, never walk, never talk. Each and every one will be resurrected. One time, one shot. Allah Ta'ala will show His kamal-e-kudrat. How I took care of you one by one you came into the dunya. Not because I couldn't do it any other way. I chose to do it like that. If I wanted to bring all of you one time and make all of you adults one time, that too I can do. So one blowing of the trumpet, each and every person that existed, angels, jinnat, insan, haywan, everything will just come back to life. One shot, one time, one hit. In one hadith sharif it comes, that there are different darajat in Jannat, right? If the entire alam, not only earth, entire alam, all the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala have to go into one darajat, it will suffice for all of them. All will fit. So what is Allah Pak's treasures? What is Allah Ta'ala's treasures? Allah Ta'ala's khazana? Allah Ta'ala's power, His kudrat? Why are we looking in any other direction? Why are we looking in any other direction? When we got a direct link with Allah Ta'ala, why must our mind even go anywhere else? The salah that we perform. Quran Sharif that we read, Dhikrullah that we make, all this is supposed to be strengthening our bond with Allah Ta'ala. It's not just there as a ritual for that time. No. It must strengthen our bond with Allah Ta'ala. That I am Allah's. I am Allah's, I am Allah's banda. Now where the frustrations come in and why we start looking in other directions, you find this even in a home, right? You find this in a home. Sometimes you'll get a situation, a father may be well off, he's got a good business or whatever, Allah Ta'ala has blessed him, and now he's got his sons growing up. The sons are growing up. Now the father got a plan. He's seen life. These are his children. He wants the best for them. And he's got a plan. He knows, right? This fellow, yeah, I'm going to set him up in that. That fellow, I'm setting him up in this. This fellow, yeah, I'm setting him up in that. This fellow, the day he gets married, I'm buying that house for him and that motor car for him. When that fellow gets married, I'll buy him a house, motor car. All if Allah Ta'ala allows. But the father got a plan. All the son needs to do is understand that I'm the son. I'm the son, that's the father. Right? My father got a plan for me, let me trust in his plan. Go along with his plan, trust in his plan. And then in a few years time, he will see the benefits. But what happens? The son becomes impatient. He starts thinking that this old man doesn't know what he's doing. I can make my own empires. I can do my own thing. He's depriving me. He just wants control. He doesn't want to just give me. Now he starts fighting with the father. The father knows what he's doing. But the son can't understand it. He now wants to fight with the father. He wants to oppose the father. He wants to rebel against the father. To whose loss? His own loss. Why? Because he forgot he's the son. Now, we're just using this as an example. Allah Ta'ala is our Allah. He is Allah Ta'ala. We are the banda. We are the servant. So we have to remember that I am just the servant. And Allah Ta'ala has got a plan for me. My apa taught me that when I was in Maktab. She told me, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah Ta'ala. Isn't our apas taught us in the Maktab, grade 1, grade 2, they taught us this thing. So Allah got a plan for me. He's got my taqdeer mapped out. Everything is sorted out. His khazanas are limitless. His ilm, I cannot fathom it. His hikmat is something beyond my mind. My intelligence can go nowhere near what Allah Ta'ala has. So I just got to keep reminding myself that I am his banda. The problem is I become frustrated. I want to start demanding. You know, I want it like this, I don't want it like that. Allah Ta'ala has got a plan. You just go like this. This is how I've mapped your life out. But I'm demanding, no, I don't want it like this. I want it like that. So I'm trying to fight my taqdeer now. So then I want to get involved in haram. Then I get frustrated. Then I get depressed. Then I have to go for, I don't know what things are happening in this zamana. People, Muslim people also, going to non-Muslims for what life, I don't know what, give them life tools and only tools we knew. Father told you, go fetch the hammer, go fetch the screwdriver. You knew all that tools. Now they got life tools and this tools and that tools. You must go for this, you get these tools. You go for that, you get that tools. And Muslim people are getting so excited about it. No, I went for that session. I realized my problems are not problems. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that in Surah Fatiha. You worship me, you ask help from me, I'll sort your things out. You don't worry. It's sorted out for you. You don't have to worry how it's going to work. You make your effort, you be obedient to me, and you carry on. I will take care of everything for you. You're my banda. I created you, why must I abandon you? But we forget that we are Allah's banda. Then we start looking in all other directions. And the only time we start looking again is when the boat is rocking. You know, something goes wrong, something happens. Then we start looking in the right direction. And then when that moves away, Allah Ta'ala speaks about it in the Quran Sharif. Person is in the ocean, stormy seas. Now everybody turns to Allah Ta'ala. But when Allah Ta'ala takes everybody safe to the shore, then now forget Allah Ta'ala again. Then everything else becomes our focus. Currently, all the talk was about soccer. So ask ourselves, those who were caught up in this fitna of the soccer, Allah protect us. So all the man hours that went into watching or following, the emotions going high, low, all the talk, who was cheated, who was this, what the referee did, what this play, count the man hours, right? And now in the end, now it's all over now. One team won, everybody else gone home. Of what nafa was it to us? Of what nafa was it? The only thing, it was a waste of time. Somebody else will term it as a pastime. Somebody will term, but it was a waste of time. You term it as a pastime. But what did we get out of it? At the end of it, what did we get out of it? Whichever country won, whichever country lost, what did we get out of it? Absolutely nothing. If all those hours were put into making khidmat of the parents, if all those hours were put into some khidmat e khalq, if all those hours were put into studying something of deen, turning to Allah Ta'ala, talking to Allah, or learning some skill, doing something that can benefit in the dunya also, wouldn't that have been much better? But when they spew out something to us, then we have to lick it up. Right? And the one who's not licking, then we think he's deprived. One brother from another country, I won't say from where, so he sent one email, and he said that, Morana, my children, they go for madrasa, they go for hips class, etc. And in our home, we got no TV, and we don't allow all this. So my children don't know anything about this soccer and whatever. But now, when they are coming from madrasa, they're coming depressed. Because they are made to feel that they're like out of it, like, you know. They're like useless, waste of time. You don't know who's playing. You don't know. Like as if to say that became such an important thing in life. That if you don't know it, then that means you're out of it. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, you know, to focus on Allah. Focus on Allah Ta'ala. Remember that we are the servants of Allah. And whether we like it or not, we're returning to Allah. Allah is so powerful. Allah is so generous. Allah Ta'ala's resources are limitless. Allah Ta'ala Himself, He says, if all of you, insan, jinnat, everybody, you have to put all your desires in front of me. And if I have to fulfill everyone's desires, it will not deplete my khazana in any way. Won't deplete the treasures of Allah. In the dunya, there will be difficulties. Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. Under the tafsir of that ayat, you will learn that there will be difficulties in the dunya. Our Hazrat Muhammad al-Haq Maghdasa, he always mentions this. He said that if you're looking for only happiness, then you're looking in the wrong place. That you'll find in Jannah. If you're looking for only grief, then that too you're looking in the wrong place. That you'll find in Jannah. Allahumma fazna. The dunya is a mixture. Sometimes there'll be happiness, sometimes there'll be grief, sometimes there'll be wealth, sometimes the wealth will get less, sometimes you'll have companionship, sometimes the companion will pass away. Different things, different halat will come about. But whatever halat come about, we must just remain on track. I'm on my journey to Allah Ta'ala, khalas. I must just remain in the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq, give you tawfiq, grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluh wa laka ash-shukru kulluh. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله رب العالمين إن شاء الله in the first week of August the KZN Ijtima will be taking place in Peter Maritzburg. So make fikr towards the Ijtima and try and attend the Ijtima also. Allah Ta'ala accept, make it a means of hidayat for us all. سبحان الله